Let's get started. Thank you, everyone, for coming in. I know that I'm the only thing standing between you and dinner, whatever beers and happy hours are going on here, so appreciate it coming all the way to Seattle and staying for the last session of the day. Thank you for that. My name is Elad Zeklik. I'm the group program manager for a product that we just announced yesterday in Scott Guthrie's keynote called Cognitive Search. And together with a couple of our partners that have been working with us in private preview, I'm going to walk you through the behind the scenes of cognitive search and AI-powered content understanding. It's going to start with a lame example. Okay, I'm sure you have all seen this. Like when you go search for data is the new blah, the first hit is data is the new oil. And by that, it means two things. It means one is that data is very, very valuable, and the other that in its raw form, data is shitty. Okay, if any of you have seen the demo that Garth, the VP IT of the NBA, did in Scott Guthrie's keynote, he had an interesting story to tell. So they had a ton of data. About 10 years ago, they went on a journey to start building a data lake. They were sure that once the data lake is there, everything is going to be fine. A decade went by, and they now are sitting in a data swamp. And this is sort of the same story that many, many other people are talking about. The fact that you have a lot of data doesn't mean that you can put it in your car and use it to drive. Okay, so you need refinement, you need to turn this crude oil, you need to turn this good thing into knowledge, into information, into something that is actually useful. And AI is here to help. Okay, everything is AI these days. So we have a ton of AI things that can help you do a bunch of things. This is actually my whiteboard in my room, and I used our OCR skill to actually turn this into text. So we have an OCR for handwriting recognition, which is awesome. You can take a photo and get a caption that this is a girl throwing a ball. You can take these forms and use AI in theory to understand the various fields in these forms and where everything should be, and this is a name, and this is an organization, and this is a location and an address and whatnot. And like, this is absolutely wonderful. And how you do this today is you have Microsoft or Azure Cognitive Services, okay? Okay, a set of pre-built AI that was trained by our wonderful researchers, applied scientists, people all over Bing and Office and Xbox and Skype and Cortana and whatnot. Across all these various fields of science or of experiences, okay? And the nice thing about those, these are pre-trained, they are very simple to use. You can get started with this. I assume most of you have seen this. A ton of sessions are on Microsoft Cognitive Services. Each category even has its own booth in the expo. There's a big thing for us. The best thing about this is that recently we started announcing that you can actually train with your own data in the cloud and even export the models and deploy them anywhere. So if you need this on-prem, on-device, compiled as TensorFlow Lite or CoreML for iOS or Onyx or whatever, you can do all this stuff. So this is wonderful. We can develop applications that sort of understand us. This is absolutely wonderful. There's a ton of hype around computer vision and face recognition and speech and a bunch of things. I thought I'll show you like a quick example of what we can do with text. So let's do this. This is the most wonderful presentation at Microsoft's Build Developer Conference. I'm sure it's all lies, but whatever. I have the keyboard and you don't. I love the presenter and I love AI. Okay, so what we can do with this piece of unstructured GUI, we can do a bunch of very simple things. The first thing we can do is like we can detect like the sentiment and the key phrases. So it's a very positive sentiment, 96% positive. We can do this across like 15 languages. And the key phrases of this topic are wonderful presentation, Microsoft's Build Developer Conference, presenter, and AI. I can take it one step further with what we recently announced as part of the text cognitive services and actually extract named entities. They actually find what are the named entities that are mentioned in this sentence. So for example, Microsoft, even though it says Microsoft, it's actually Microsoft. You can see the link to Wikipedia, Microsoft in the bottom left. Build conference is recognized, AI is recognized as artificial intelligence. We do this based on the context of the document. So if we're talking about Mars, the god of war, or Mars the planet, or Mars the candy bar, based on the context, we know what is it that we're talking about. Okay, so this is nice. So we can do a bunch of funny, useful AI things with text. Then we had Azure Search. Okay, Azure Search is a managed search as a service offering from Azure. It's a first-party, enterprise-grade a service. It's very nice. We actually use Elasticsearch behind the scenes and add a bunch of sugar on top to make it very, very easy and enterprise grade and our own very capable linguistic stack. So we make this a great service. It's been around for a few years. We have many thousands of customers deploying this inside their own environment, and everything was fine. We have cognitive services, and we have Azure Search. But then we heard some feedback from a lot of you, okay, not necessarily you, but our customers, who described this as their problem. Okay, now this may look like a stock photo, but it is actually a photo that I got from one of our account managers. This is the archives of, again, a bit of irony, the Department of Justice of a country that I will not name for obvious reasons. And while you may think to yourself, or I hope you think to yourself that you don't have this problem, I guarantee you that you have the digital equivalent of this problem, the digital attic mess of this problem, or at least that's what we're hearing from our customers. Customers are sitting on piles of Office documents, SharePoint documents, diagrams, scanned PDFs of contracts and policies, engineering diagrams of things that nobody knows what to do with them, and nobody does anything with them. Like we recently in Joseph's, you know, VP's keynote, Joseph Sirosh, we've done a demo, and I've done this in a theater session around understanding the JFK files. Like quick show of hands, who show that? So most of you, I'll not do this again. But we took 50,000 government-released PDFs, audio files in Russian of the interrogation of KGB spies and whatnot, and turned them into knowledge using this pattern. Okay, extracted entities and relationship and understanding of what happened in those documents using this cognitive search pattern. And customers basically, or partners saying, we want this too. We've been working with people in the oil and gas and legal and insurance and finance and retail, and you pick it. People are sitting on those piles of content. We brought a few of them with us to show what they've done with this. And they want help. Okay? And what they want is the ability to take all this data, ingest it in an effective way, in a continuous pattern. This is not the JFK files where you get a one-time drop and you're done, because these files are alive, they keep coming. There's new data that's coming in every day, whether it's your call center transcripts or your technician logs or your SharePoint, PowerPoint decks. They want to enrich it using AI, and then they want to explore it, and they want this done easily. If you think about taking two lines of text and throwing them to a couple of text analytics API on the cloud, that's actually pretty easy. But if you have 100 million of those, and these are alive, and they keep getting more, and new documents, and new things pop up in your blob storage, just managing that thing is a nightmare. And just managing the billion documents times billion annotations that you get from all these APIs, and managing that and creating the knowledge graph or annotation store, even that is a mess. It has to be simpler than that. So as of yesterday, it is a little bit simpler. Okay, yesterday morning in Scott Guthrie's keynote, we announced Cognitive Search, okay, in public preview, which we call an AI-first approach to doing content understanding. And what we're offering is the exact same thing we just talked about. We're offering a pattern. We can ingest your data from wherever you put it on Azure. So once you get your data on Azure, we can ingest it. We can use cognitive skills. We call those cognitive skills, just like Cortana has skills and Alexa has skills. So these are cognitive skills, AI skills. The best example I can offer you of what this looks like is, did any of you see the movie The Matrix? Show of hands. The only reason I'm asking is because I did this sort of presentation at the University of Washington, and I was talking about The Matrix, and the kids there were looking at me like I'm some kind of super old, like apparently most of them weren't born when The Matrix was released. So since I'm doing that, I've been asking, it seems like you are in the right age group. So in the movie The Matrix, sorry, you guys are old. oldish. In The Matrix, if you remember, when Neo needed to learn how to fly a helicopter, he downloaded a skill from The Matrix into his brain. And later on, he needed some hand-to-hand combat or whatever. He went and downloaded another skill into his brain. Imagine the same thing. I need to do some things on my data. I'm going to download skills. Some of them come with the box. But some of them I'm actually going to download from The Matrix or from some web source, which I'll show you some examples. And I'm going to connect them to my cognitive search pipeline. Okay? This is the way we're thinking about it. We're doing our best to get a bunch of cognitive skills and most of Microsoft's cognitive services lined up, embedded, built in, so you don't have to worry about those. But we're never going to be good enough taking care of every AI job that needs to be done. That's where you can plug in using our extensibility model and create your own cognitive skills. And you'll see that as well very shortly. Okay. So this is what it looks like. So if you've seen the JFK demo, you've seen the top secret CIA clip art of how we build the JFK thingy. This is the 21st version of this. This is what cognitive search takes you on a journey from your data all the way to your search index with AI in the middle, okay, with cognitive skills in the middle. I'm going to go over part by part on what we can do in this. I'm going to lift the cover, show you how this works on the portal, show you a bit of code, and then show you a couple of customer examples on how this actually is tied together, including their own customer skills. So to start with, let me show you the beast. Let me show you how this works. So naturally, this is an Azure service, so there's a ton of SDKs and APIs and whatever behind the scenes, but I want to show you like the real getting started hello world in 2 minutes using the Azure portal. Okay, so I have here my resource go for this demo. I have a Cosmos DB, and I have my search service. You can go and provision a new search service if you want. But I'm going to start with one that I have existing. So I already have a search service created. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to do cognitive search on it. Okay, and the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to use, which many people do, we've had the NBA demo this in Scott Guthrie, we did it on the JFK. I'm going to do it on something much more mundane but still potentially useful. I'm going to do this on the build database. Okay, so these are all the sessions at build. You have the speakers, you have the abstracts, you have all the goo. This is, I literally downloaded from the build website. What I'm going to do is I've uploaded the thing into Cosmos DB. Okay, I just use the data importer tool. I upload this already into Cosmos DB. Now I'm going to run and create a cognitive search skill set on top of this data. So the first thing that I need to do is connect to my data. And as you can see, I can actually use a bunch of sources from SQL DB to Cosmos DB, from Blob Storage, whatever. I'm actually going to connect to my existing demo thingy. Click select here. Now, what it's doing now is it's like sampling the data source. It's trying to pick up what is the schema of this thing. Okay, it's already done. And now it is asking me, what enrichers do you want to run on that thing? Okay, now if it detected there were photos in the thing, it would allow me to do some OCR and computer vision skills, but it just detects a bunch of text, a bunch of columns with text. So it offers me, hey, what kind of text enrichers do you want to run on this thing? Now, the portal is relatively limited. We just launched this in public preview, so we're going to add more functionality. You cannot use custom stuff through the portal. You have to actually use the APIs behind the scenes. But I can literally go and choose and say, okay, I want these type of fields to go and run. I'll hit okay. It will then ask me, okay, I'm going to run all these enrichers. Some magic is going to happen. Now I'm going to stick this inside your search index. You need to help me tell you, for each field of those fields, what do you want this to do? Do you want them to be able to be searchable? Do you want them to be able to be facetable, to use them as facets? Do you want them filterable, to use as filters, or sortable, or whatever? So I can go and literally configure each one of these fields from the source data or from the enrichment. I want to cancel all this just in the essence of time and show you one that I already have working. I'm going here to my Search Explorer. Choose this index, and I'll show you what the result look like on this exact data. So I can naturally search for things. I can search for my name and find the session that I'm running right now. I can go and search and do things like search for facet by people. Okay, let's see all the people that are in the build session. So you see that Paige Bailey is a very prominent speaker in the build catalog. She has 4 sessions appearing in the session. And I can do any type of mix. Let's say, when we talk about AI, what organizations are being mentioned? Okay, so when we talk about AI, in the sessions about AI, they talk about Microsoft, they talk about the IEEE. Can do, let's do facet, let's do search. Oh, sorry. Search is on Azure, and facet is key phrases. Let's see what key phrases are being mentioned in the Azure sessions. And you'll find, not surprisingly, Azure and Azure Functions and applications and cloud and developers and Microsoft and Visual Studio and whatnot. And I didn't do anything. Like, I actually didn't even write any piece of code. I just used whatever pre-built AI skills were in the box to generate a search index on top of my data, to ingest data. Okay, in my case, I used Cosmos DB, but you can use any type of Azure store. You can use any type of file format. PDFs, office documents, photos, JSON, HTML, XML, whatever. In my case, it was Excel, but you can do this on any type. You can even do this on proprietary type. We did an oil and gas engagement, and they have some SEGWAI files, some seismic weird binary type of data that we knew nothing about. So we just found a cracker for this thing, ran this as part of the pipeline, and extracted the data, and now we can do your AI stuff. And this is actually pretty important, because doing this once is easy, but doing this at scale on a continuous basis is very, very, very hard. Imagine you have a blob storage with 100,000 documents, and now you have 100 more. You actually do not want to index all of them. You want to do change management. You want to just pick the right new 100 that came. If a document was changed, you want to know that. And we intimately know all these stores. We know how to do change management across them in a very effective way, so that you don't have to worry about that mess. And yes, we have a push API if you want to extract data from some things that we don't know about and push them directly into the index without going through an Azure store. So you can do that too. And it's pretty useful. And we do this across 20 regions in all the compliance stuff that you can think of, from ISO to HIPAA to whatever. So it's a pretty useful thing to go and operationalize just cracking of all these messy documents. And then we get to the fun part. Okay? Then you want to use AI. And with cognitive search that we've launched yesterday, there's a set of built-in cognitive skills to do a bunch of simple things, but are very useful for many of the scenarios that we saw. And this list will grow bigger and bigger with every month. And it has the ability to, as I said, do third-party enrichers. So our built-in skills include a lot of work around natural language processing. Some of it is based on cognitive services. Some of it is based on things that maybe in the future will be cognitive services. So we've taken a bunch of libraries from Office that are used as part of Office speller and syntax understanding and whatnot. And we released them. So we have Office's named entity recognition in about 15 languages, part of this box. It's not yet available as cognitive services. It is available in cognitive search. It's part of the experience. We have a bunch of image processing capabilities, OCR, handwriting OCR, detection of faces and celebrities and image captioning and whatnot. We have a bunch of what we call utilities. Sometimes the only thing you're actually missing to get the job done is some glue code. Oh, I extracted a bunch of things from a bunch of places. I want to turn them all into a complex type. So we have a shaping utility. You have a bunch of text and you need some splitting or merging or image resizing, a bunch of smallish utilities that as we were going and doing this and we're engaging with customers, we found that customers are repeatedly asking for and wanted to make easier. And you can build your own. Okay, so the concept of a custom skill, the nice thing about it is we defined a very clear contract on how you go and do that. Okay, so it has a very simple input and output. In our case, you can think of a couple of skills. This is a thing classifier. So if my input says fox or cat, it will return these are animals. And if my document is talking about blue and red, it will say that these are colors. And it's obviously a very simple and naive cognitive skill. And using those skills, you can build what we call a skill set. This is, I think, the important part. The ability to do AI composition. Okay, the ability to take multiple AI skills, whether from Microsoft or from your own, and compose them together into a skill set, into a set of skills, set of cognitive skills, that allow you to get the job done in a very, very easy and native way. Okay, so in this example, let's say I have a bunch of documents and I want to extract key phrases, I want to extract organization, and I want to run my own document classifier. Great. But to do this well, sometimes you might need some feedback or some annotations from one skill to impact what's happening next. In this case, my organization extraction or my key phrase extraction is actually language dependent. So the first thing I want to do is I want to run a skill that extracts the language of my document, because it's completely different whether a document is in English versus Chinese. I use different skills along the way. So you can take a detect language skill, plug it inside the skill set, and use its output as input for the other things. And let's say I did extract the organizations, but now I have the organization name from the document. I want to find what is the internal CRM ID for that organization. That's a custom skill. Nobody can do that. But I can use this output and wire it into my own system, into a custom skill, and use it as the rest of the flow. Let me show you what it looks like. So this is a very, very simple skill set, okay, that uses one skill, the language detection skill. Okay, it takes a text, it takes the document content, and it just outputs the language code and the language name. Okay, this is a pre-built skill that you can just go and use, and it's very, very easy. Now, These outputs is what we call annotations, okay? Because they look like an annotation of a document. They take unstructured document and they annotate certain parts of it, either like the entire document or certain parts of it. In this case, this is an annotation for the entire document. This is my language code and my language name. Now I move in my pipeline to my named entity recognition skill. Okay. And what I'm asking it to do is extract organization, and I'm giving it my text, and I'm giving it my language code. And the output would be a set of organizations. And in this case, this language code was something that another skill created. So I can take that annotation and use it in the same part of the pipeline, which is pretty useful. And now I need to get the internal organization ID. Now this introduces a new problem. If up until now all my annotations were just on the document level, but one document can actually have many, many, many annotations. You can have a contract that talks about six organizations or two or five or whatever. And I need to find an easy way to tell the skill set how to do that. So in this case, organizations, the output of a previous skill, is actually an array of strings. It's not one string, it doesn't say Microsoft, it actually says multiple organizations. And in my custom skill, the go get my organization ID from somewhere, this is a custom skill, as you can see on the top. It's a custom Wave API skill. This is the URI where I'm going, this URL I'm going to call outside. So I'm going to call outside of Azure Search to this skill that you host wherever you want. And this time, the syntax here is apply this search to each organization. So each organization that the previous skill found, I want to run my own custom skill on it. And the return, the output, is going to be organization ID, and this is one for each organization. Notice the star there, this is going to hang out of each organization. This is not per a specific document. So in the end, after I finish running my skill set, what I get is basically a set of annotated documents. I get a tree or a graph. I get a knowledge graph. Might have one language code, a set of key phrases, a set of organization, and for each one an organization ID, and if there were images in there, then a set of tags that we're talking about that. And this is for one PDF. Okay, so I can take all these PDF, extract all the images, maybe run OCR, run key phrases, run organization, run some custom skills, and throw this into my search index. And when I do that, just like I showed you in the portal, what I need to do is, whenever you do data to a search index, you need to do the mapping. You need to show what do I want to do with each of these fields. So in this case, I've taken these organization IDs that were in the source data. These are new annotations that were created. And I turn them into an org IDs field name in my search index. This is a new property for the indexer that can go index this, and then I can use this to do facets and search and whatnot. This is a field that was not there in the original data. Now I added it for annotations using cognitive skills, and now I added it to my indexer to actually go and pick this up. So this pattern, this cognitive search pattern, allows you to deliver very easily end-to-end scenarios that start with, here is my blob of data, I have no idea what's going on there. Run some AI skills on it, either the things that come out of the box or custom things. Annotate my documents and generate a search index in the end from this mess. And to show this in action, not just fictive examples on build data, I'd like to invite Lisan from Wolters Kluwer to show you the work that they've done with cognitive search. Thanks, Lisan.
Thank you, Elad. My name is Lisan Han. I'm a development manager, managing a group of developers. I work for WK, Wolters Kluwer. WK has a history, has been in business for 185 years. The division that I work in focuses on financials, legal, and regulatory. We'll be looking at new technologies like cognitive search to enhance our customer experience. Right? We've been playing with tool, with the technology for a little bit, and today I want to show you the result of that. All right. So this is the search result of for star. You know, the content set is not huge, even though we have a multi-terabytes of data, but for this purpose, the Kanban studies are deliberately focused on a variety of documents to test, basically to test the capabilities of these new skills, or our new APIs. So as you can see on the left-hand side is facets, right? Traditionally, to build the facets, usually it's a manual process. You need to tag the data, and then so that when you do index, you can actually do facets. You know, typically the pricing, size, in our case, is the file type, organization. But a lot of this stuff, if you look at it closely, are not done manually. They are based on entity extraction. In a company, key phrases, which is as a result of a text analytics, people, locations, places, organization, all that kind of stuff, right? But one thing I want to point out that requires a special machine learning is the risk factors, right? As many of you know, filings are files that public companies are required to send to the SEC, Stock and Exchange Commission. And then in one of the sections, it's called item 1A, they must disclose the operating risks, right? So that investors will have a full view of what's going on. But they do not say that this is that we're facing a certain risk. They describe it in a variety of ways. To make it easier for our end users, usually they are lawyers, law firms, legal counsels, law departments. To make it easier for them to find the right information, we have Smiths to label some contents, right? And to say, hey, this is like a cyber security risk, and that's regulatory risk, and that's financial risk. For instance, if you're interested in looking at this, you click on it, do a narrowing down your search result. So hopefully it's running. Ah, good. So on the previous screen, you saw that there was like blue buttons here. Those are the entity extraction results, and then the green things are key phrases. Right? Already you get it. At the end user, get information what this text is about, right? Now with that, on top of that, we have this list of risks that this company has disclosed, right? So if you close into this document, this is a 10K. This is the actual 10K, right? You can see the financials, everything that are required by law are in there. You want to go into cybersecurity, you got snippets of that section where cybersecurity risk is disclosed. You click on it, it will take you right there. Right? It's hard to see, I know, but it basically talks about storing customer information in the cloud environment, and that naturally raises natural security concerns. Right? So that's one example. So let's do another. Elad mentioned this, the ingestion process can handle multiple contract types, multiple type of documents. In our line of business, the files are submitted by lawyers, either from law firms or law departments. They can come in a variety of formats, right? So you want to show that, let me do a search. Search Microsoft. Oh, let me cancel this. So go back to the original result, search for Microsoft. Micro, if I can spell it right. Let's try that. Okay, you have 10 results. However, there are different different formats. This one is actually a, even though it looks nicely formatted, I think it's actually this one is PDF. Next one is probably some kind of text, but more importantly, this is the image. You see that the image, the OCR, or computer vision, recognize that Microsoft here, the logo has the word Microsoft, and it was able to recognize that and retrieve the result. You click into it, you can see the Microsoft, right? There's a transcript actually transcribes all the other entities in text format. So that's on the, you know, these are all, we use some of the skills or capabilities that Elad already mentioned in his portion. One other thing I want to show is this is probably more traditional search, but nevertheless is pretty interesting. You can do a proximity search, right? You can say, I want to search two words within certain number of words of each other. So let's say you want to search for risk and fraud within 10 words of each other, right? If you do a search like that, it retrieves three documents. Look into this. It's the PricewaterhouseCoopers letter from them. You click into it, and this is actually an image, not a PDF. So there's a few snippets. You click into that. You see the entire thing is the kind of a blob of text, even though this part is nicely paragraphed, because this whole thing is the image, right? Normally, the things that we are struggling with is we don't have the capability before cognitive search to actually, at runtime, get all the images indexed and be able to search on them. Search on images, search on PDF and Word documents. All right, so. Right. So let's do another search. This demonstrates another capability of the cognitive search. It's also based on machine learning. So I want to search for Adtran. Four results came. There is still, look at that, these all comment letters, right? So if you click into it, you can see comment letters, for those who may not know what they mean, they are communications between the government, the commission, and the filer. In this case, whatever the company is. So the government may find certain things they want more explanations. And they come in as a collection of discrete collection of documents, right? For a lawyer to know the entire history, it's really hard to find all of them. With the new capability that we have in here, all the comment letters are nicely threaded here. It's like your Outlook conversation. So it's making it easy for end users to find the right information. I think that's the last of my...
Thank you very much, Isan.
Thank you.
So the nice thing about this, let me just go back to my deck. The nice thing about this is that all the data that you see here is based on SEC filings and whatnot. That is actually private data, public data. And some of the skills are out of the box, and some of the skills, like Walter Silver built a date extractor, okay, because they wanted to do this lining of the various documents and emails according to date or whatever. We didn't have this out of the box, so they created a very simple custom classifier and brought it in, okay, just like our custom skills for organizations. So when you want to create custom skills, okay, we basically help you define the contract of the input and output, so you could use all the annotations that are generated by that later on in the flow. What we release now is you have to use an external web API interface that is HTTPS only. What we're going to release very shortly after build is the ability to deploy containers. So you can take any container that contains any piece of code that you want, you can head it over to us, and we'll run this for you, host this for you, as part of this pipeline. So today, even though we have very simple web services, there's very easy ways to generate those. The easiest one is Azure Function. You create your custom cognitive skill using whatever mechanism that you want, whether it's Python or R or whatnot, stick it inside an Azure function, and connect that Azure function into the pipeline. The other option is to use Azure Machine Learning. Azure Machine Learning allows you to take your model and host it inside a container, generating an endpoint out of that, and then you can go and connect that thing. And there are many common scenarios where you want to do these custom things, where you have to do these custom things, because there's no way that an out-of-the-box model or an out-of-the-box skill could do that. For example, you might want to do text classification to your own categories. Okay? You have your own categories, your own vocabulary, your own ontology, and you want to do this classification. So you need to do this on your own. There's no way that something can solve this out of the box. You may want to do custom entity extraction. We do some out-of-the-box basic things like companies and places and whatnot. But you have your own medical terminology, and you want to extract all the list of diseases and medications and symptoms and whatnot. Okay, so again, you need your own custom data to train a model and create a custom skill for it. I want to bring Nagi, who is the chief product officer for iCertis, to walk you through what they've done with cognitive search. Thanks, Nagi.
Mic on? Yeah. My name is Nagi Prabhu. I'm the chief product officer at iCertis. To give a context of what we have done here, it's important to understand what iCertis does. We are a leading platform for contract lifecycle management for large enterprises. So the enterprises who have sell-side contracts, buy-side contracts, corporate contracts can use our platform to manage the importing of legacy contracts, creating new contracts, negotiating the contracts, and then, of course, after the execution of the contract, taking through the entire life cycle is what we do on our platform. We are built on Azure. We are natively born on Azure, and we have several large enterprises, Fortune 2000 enterprises, including Microsoft, using us to manage their legal contracts in the enterprise. Now, in order to understand what we have done here as part of this demo, I think if you are a parent who has gone through a parenting experience, you will understand it better. So what do you do when your kid asks a tough question? You send them to school, right? So what we have done here is exactly that. So basically, the cognitive search platform that Microsoft has built has a basic, when I say basic, it's a sophisticated, but in terms of the natural language and the image and things like that. But it doesn't understand the legal language. And what we have done is actually taken the basic platform in the cognitive search and make it understand the legal context, the enterprise contract context, right? So if you look at this picture here, so we basically feed the contract documents, whether they are in the PDF form or the doc form or an image or OCR, whatever it is, it goes through an OCR process, becomes a full text. And that then gets fed into a pipeline of skills that we have created. And I'm going to take you guys through the internals of that. So there are basically two skills that we have added. The first skill, actually three skills. The first skill is when you have a long contract, how do you know what are the different clauses that are in there? How many in liability clause or a termination clause? So to be able to understand the boundaries of the clauses is an important aspect of understanding a contract. The second aspect is once you have identified the boundaries, you need to know what are these clauses. Is it a termination? Is it an indemnity? Is it a liability clause? So that is the first part of the pipeline, right? So once the contract comes in, we added those skills. And then once you have gotten the clauses, then you need to further annotate them, further be able to understand, is this clause relevant for GDPR? Is this clause relevant for ASC 606? Is this clause relevant? So there is a further annotation or intelligence you can add in the pipeline through a skill that analyzes the clause extracted by the previous pipeline. And then we also took the Bing entity search, entity description service, and we pipelined our clauses into that so that you can extract the entities out of the contract and be able to do the Bing search on top of those entities. And now all of that output from that pipeline gets fed into the indexing, which now gets consumed. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you quickly here. If you look at the JSON, the setup that we have done, you can see that the first class, first part is the setting up for class delineation. So as you can see, it takes the blob input, and as an output, it actually takes contract ID and the content, and it breaks down it into clauses. And then the output of the first pipeline gets fed into the second one. As you can see, the context is actually document clauses. And then it says that in there, I'm going to get the clause type identified as an output. And you take that clause type and the clause content and feed it into the enricher, which actually goes and further gets the formatted clause where it actually annotates it with the different attributes such as GDPR or others. And then, of course, you can take the content output of that and feed that into Bing Entity Search to extract entities and further enrich the clauses. So as you can see, it is basically the raw contracts in coming in and then going through a pipeline of skills, and at the end of it is able to answer some of the complex questions one might want to ask against that contract. So I can show you. So if you actually, this is the, besides the creation of the index, you have a bunch of other APIs that you can call, REST APIs. So basically the API here to set up the data source, you can identify what fields the index is going to have. You need to set that up as an API. Followed by that, you do the skill set. And this is the piece that I actually extracted and put it on the PowerPoint. And then, of course, you have the API to create the index and, of course, to call it to do the search. So as you can see, you can build this entire pipeline programmatically by calling the APIs directly. Now, if I go into my Azure portal, so if I go to resource group, so you can see here that I have cognitive search as a resource, and in here you can see all the pipeline of services that you have here. So many of them are provided natively by Microsoft. The two things that we have added here is essentially cognitive search AI demo is something that we added as a part of the pipeline, and also cognitive Bing entity search. So there is a native Bing entity search that's available. We kind of put a layer on top of it to get the parameters right for our use case. Now, if I go further down into cognitive search AI demo, you will see that we have an iCertis index that was created as part of creating this pipeline. And if I go further into it, you can see that there are all these fields, these fields that we have added as part of the index. So these are the fields that we had configured in the beginning as part of the JSON that show up as part of this index. Now, if I go back into the Search Explorer, and I can go and say, show me the GDPR related contracts, contracts that have clauses that might have a GDPR implication. So if you do that, you will get a search result. It is very not readable, obviously. But as you can see, it returns me the contract as well as the broken down clauses, as you can see here, the clause ID, and also further it augments it using clause type of different types that of the clauses it is. And as you can further, you can search for organization. So as you can see here, the organizations, it has identified touchpoint metrics. This was a phrase that it identified in the contract, and the Bing entity search actually brought that out and made it a part of the index so that you can search and actually enrich the contract further, right? So this is the nuts and bolts of how the pipeline was built how the index was built, and what you can do with the search. Now, how does it now surface in our application? So, if you look at this is our application, where this is our dashboard of our application, but I'm going to go directly into a search. So, here before we introduced the cognitive search, we only had metadata and full text and a combined search. We did not have an ability to do a cognitive search, and so what that meant was that if you have to search a particular keyword, it will look for the exact keyword in that text or exact set of words in that text, and it will search, like a regular search, right? It did not have any cognitive intelligence to say, if I search for data privacy, it should tell me everything that is related to maybe a GDPR. It didn't have that intelligence. So, we added this cognitive search capability, and now if I go and say data privacy, this is actually calling the endpoint into the cognitive search, and it has returned me list of contracts that have the data privacy related clauses, right? Now, further if I go down into a specific contract, it will actually show me the broken down the clauses specifically that are having the data privacy issue. For example, I could go and look into this, and it probably has something about the email and the name and things like that, which has triggered the fact that it is a data privacy issue. So, this is quick detail into how we got about taking the basic functionality that the cognitive search provides us and added our legal expertise, because we have over 14, 15 terabytes of data, multiple millions of contracts across hundreds of large enterprises. We have that domain knowledge in the contracting. So, we took those and created those skills so that the cognitive, the basic cognitive platform that comes can be now enriched with the legal aspects of it, so that we can build a domain specific cognitive search. Ilan?
So the last thing I want to talk about is how do you actually go and build these things? How do you go and build these custom text thingies? Now you can have your data science team do this from scratch using whatever technologies that you have and are experienced on. But we have just recently launched a set of packages, a set of Azure machine learning packages that allow you to very, very easily get started with building your own custom data science jobs. In the case of what we're talking about, the easiest way to go and do that is using our text packages. Okay, so yesterday announced in public preview, these are Python pip installable extensions for Azure machine learning. The text package, we have a computer vision package, we have a forecasting package, but the text package allows you to deal with three typical scenarios that we found very useful for many, many customers in this cognitive search space, for customer classification, for custom entity extraction, and for doing word embeddings. And the nice thing about these is that these are actually surfaced as Azure notebooks, as Jupyter notebooks. So you have an end-to-end, plug your data here, train a model, and it has a bunch of default scikit-learn libraries and whatnot that are pre-trained with useful defaults to work on your data by evaluating the data. This guides you all the way through evaluating the performance of the model, looking at the quality of the model, the accuracy of the model, saving this pipeline, publishing this as a web service so that you can just plug it into your cognitive skill set and use this as a custom flow. So this is something that we recently launched in the cases where you want to build a custom classifier and you just need a little bit of help getting started instead of starting from scratch and picking up TensorFlow or scikit-learn or Keras or whatever. Where these packages, you go, you start specific scenarios. This is text classification using scikit, and just walk through, think of it like as a tutorial, like a hello world for intro level data scientists. If you're the geek, deep person, and you want to tune your heart out and whatever, do that. But for 80% of the scenarios, this works out of the box with pretty good accuracy. And these Azure ML packages are one of the ways that we're working on making it a little bit easier to build your custom stuff and then just deploy it and wire it into the pipeline. So in this case, what you can do is use the cognitive search pipeline, get your labeled data for the scenarios that you care about, the business experts, your lawyers, your finance people, your whatever, have this and connect it using an Azure ML package, in this case, for example, for custom entity extraction, as a custom skill into your pipeline and use it to further augment your experience, similar to how both Icertis and Wolters Kluwer have done. That's it. Cognitive search is available today. You can start in the Azure portal. All the documentation is there. All the SDKs. You can start programming against this. The other machine learning packages for text analytics or computer vision or forecasting is also there. So you can go and play with this. Cognitive services has been there for a while, but a bunch of new announcements, especially around object detection and speech recognition and entity linking, are all there right now. And you'll have this deck obviously available after build. Feel free to contact us. We're looking for customers, enterprises, and ISVs who want to use this, and we'll be happy to help you guys either with our product team or our EAP early adoption program team that helps onboard customers during this preview stage. One other point worth mentioning, during the next couple of months, this whole content augmentation, AI-driven cognitive skills thing are free as part of Azure Search. Azure Search still costs money if you use anything beyond the free tier. But right now, as part of this public preview, all these augmentations, OCR, and entity recognition, all the things that you've seen in this presentation are all is part of Azure Search machinery and Azure Search pricing model that will probably change as we go closer to GA. But as of today, there's no extra cost. You can literally go to the portal, deploy free tier Azure Search. It's limited in how many documents you can bring in, but just bring it on and try it on your own data and see if this does any help for you. Thank you very much for your time. Be happy if you go and submit a video.